Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've seen a lot of change in the past 20 years, but two decades later, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is still a fan favorite, bringing you the bold tropical lime flavor that folks can't get enough of. It takes you back to a sunny day at the beach with every delicious sip. And don't you want that feeling all the time? Well, 2024 is the year. In celebration of their 20th Baja-versary, you can sip Baja Blast all year long. So pick up a Baja Blast wherever you are. In stores now.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
And away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll help you fill out your brackets coming up momentarily with Bobby Regan of Barstool Sports. He does a great job covering college basketball all throughout the year as we got a whole lot cooking. Tourney technically gets underway on Tuesday with the first four, but for me, when the ball gets thrown up in the air on Thursday, that's when I really start to feel like March Madness is back. Obviously, I would say the biggest storyline that did occur from Selection Sunday was the Big East only getting three schools in, when that is UConn being the number one overall seed. You then did have Marquette being a two seed and then Creighton being a three seed. But with all things being said, no St. John's, no Seton Hall, no Providence as well. And what a crazy weekend it was with all the bids that were being stolen. So let's talk all things March Madness right now with Bobby Regan of Barstool Sports. Regs, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for doing this. And how you been, my man?
It's hard to say I've been bad when it's March, but I'm sick of fighting with everybody, with the committee, and trying to voice. Listen, I'm just a guy, right? Like, I'm just a blogger, college basketball fan at heart. Arguing about the committee almost ruined Selection Sunday. I say almost because it's hard to do. We lived through a year where they did it alphabetically. That was like a three-hour process. Like, we've lived through a lot of dumb things. Yesterday was one of the worst, if not the worst. And I'm older, right? Like, I'm in my late 30s, so it's not like it's a new thing. It was one of the worst seedings and reasonings and inclusion of Virginia that I've ever seen in the tournament.
Well, none of it made any sense to me. Like,
so that's the thing.
So you, and it's funny, and I know it's on CBS, but UConn, they're like, oh, their road's easy. And I'm sitting there on my couch saying, they're the number one overall seed. It seems like they got the toughest road out of any of the one seeds.
They did. Like, everyone was arguing whether or not Iowa State would be a one seed. They're not even the highest two seed. Like, you're not allowed to have the highest two seed in the number one overall bracket. Well, they revealed that right away, and everyone just kind of went, okay, so who's the number one overall two seed then? It makes no sense. Like, there's a shift. I don't even remember how many years ago. The shift of, like, geographical preference. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, the number one overall seed should, and it makes sense this year with UConn being able to have Brooklyn and Boston back to back. You should be rewarded for that. You shouldn't be punished when you're the number one overall seed and you draw three champions from the next three best leagues. There wasn't flukes in there either. Iowa State has been really good all year. Auburn has been really good all year. And Illinois has been really good all year. So it just makes no sense. Like, I don't understand why they come out with these rankings after the bracket reveal, so you can see, like, the overall seed list. Just put it where it makes sense. That's all we're asking for.
Bobby Regan here with us from Barstool Sports. Does a great job covering college basketball all throughout the year. Who's the one school? Because, like, I'm not up in arms. Don't get me wrong. A lot of it didn't make sense. I'm not going to sit here and say we need to expand the NCAA tournament. But who's the one school today, when you look that they didn't get an invite, that you say, okay, that school was the school amongst all the others that really got screwed the most?
Honestly, there's like six, because I don't understand how Virginia's in, right? Like, the committee kept saying, well, we looked at non-conference schedule, strength of schedule, which first off is dumb because you have an overall strength of schedule. Then they said they looked at quality wins and road wins and neutral wins. Okay, so a win against Florida is really what's carrying the weight for Virginia. Like, they lost to Pitt at home. What? How is that rewarded? So, you know, you look, and it's impossible to come up with one team because they gave all these reasonings. And it's like, you know, they even mentioned metrics. Well, Virginia's the lowest ranked KenPom team. So, you know, I think Seton Hall, I think St. John's, I think Indiana State, I think Oklahoma to a degree, they all have legitimate gripes that, in terms of left out versus in, they all should be in over Virginia. And what bothers me is we still don't know why. There was not one thing where they said Virginia was better than this, than all these teams in this category, and that was why. So you could come up with even more. I mean, you know, Providence to a degree. You know, I think Providence was the third of the three Big East teams, if you're ranking of who was left out. I would have had them above Virginia. Like, I just don't get it.
The other thing that I don't get with the Big East is, okay, you have UConn, who's the number one overall seed. Then you have Marquette, who's a two, and Creighton's a three. I understand so many bids were stolen, and it took some spots away that they thought that they would have. And going into Sunday, I said, all right, probably only one other Big East school gets in. But the fact they didn't even put one other Big East school in when they have three teams that are one, two, and three, that's another thing that doesn't make any sense to me.
And only one of the first four out. It's not even like St. John's was considered. They weren't even close when you start really looking at it.
And St. John's has what, a net ranking? It was 32 and KenPom of 25. Which I don't, as Patino said, all those numbers, I guess, are fraudulent now.
I said it today in a blog where, first off, we need the, what I hope this really does is change, and it won't because it's the NCAA, but they need to get rid of the 12 athletic directors who make up the committee. Those 12 athletic directors change every year. It's not always the same 12. So what that does is two things. One, you never know what they truly value because it changes year to year. Two, they're athletic directors. You need to, sure, have two to three athletic directors part of the 12-person committee. Have full-time people that know the sport and can look at just besides a sheet and go, okay, this happened because of this. This team is that. It's not the 36th best for the at-large. It's the 36th most deserving, which kind of gets lost in the arguments because you sit there and go, well, this team's better than that. And it's like, well, that might be true, but it's the whole point of the at-large is deserving teams, which that's the other part of the debate. But you need people that are truly locked in year-round. You need people to do this full-time. You can't have 12 athletic directors come in, change year after year, because it coaches don't know what matter when they head into the season.
Talking to Bobby Regan, when we get into the bracket now, I know talking to you through previous years, whenever everybody is on one team, you are usually not. With UConn, though, like if anyone usually asks me, UConn or the field, and it's one field team and then 67 other teams, field. But I felt this way now for almost two and a half months. I can't pick against UConn. Will you pick against UConn, though?
I will. I mean, I think UConn's the best team in the country, but best team in the country doesn't win this tournament often. It's not like a regular occurrence. I mean, you look back throughout the last, 15 years, and it's maybe three, four of the best team in the country heading into the tournament that won. I will pick against UConn. History tells me to pick against UConn.
Will you pick against them to get to the Final Four, though?
So I keep trying to figure out how. I can't. And, I want to just because, again, history says, it's so hard not only to go back-to-back in title games, but back-to-back to a Final Four. It's hard to do. You still have to win four in a row. Who's beating them? Who do you trust coming out of the bottom half of the bracket? Do you think they really stumble against Auburn, assuming seats hold? So I think UConn makes the Final Four, but I'm going to pick against them to win it. I just don't know who because UConn's the best team in the country.
I'm not saying to get to a Final Four, but you maybe look at maybe one of the top four teams if it's someone outside of the top four. What are your thoughts on Mark Pope's squad with BYU?
They're tough because when they are shooting the ball well, they rely so much on the three-point ball. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's all schematic. We've seen teams win that way. We've seen teams lose that way. But when they shoot the ball the way they do and when they are having one of those nights that they did against Kansas or they've done in the past this season, they can beat anybody because, Zach, three more than two. It's pretty simple math there. However, we saw it in their loss in the Big 12 tournament. They went down early big because they couldn't score. And that's the fear with the BYU team of, hey, we play fast, we play reckless, we shoot a ton. Our defense isn't awesome, but we can outscore the majority of the country. All it takes is one bad shooting night and you lose. So I wouldn't be surprised if BYU, I could see BYU giving them a challenge, playing it close. If they win, then yeah, they probably shot the you-know-what out of the ball. But I could also see them losing in the first round just because of their style of play.
Talking to Bobby Regan, let me move over to the Midwest. So I like the one and the two seed here just from a storyline. Purdue with Matt Painter struggles in the NCAA tournament. I know we just had Dalton Connect on, but his coach, Rick Barnes, struggles in the NCAA tournament. So I will not pick Purdue. I will not pick Tennessee to go to the Final Four. I have more confidence in Tennessee than Purdue. Who's the team, when you look at that Midwest, that you have the most confidence in to get to the Final Four?
No one?
I'm going Creighton, I think. That's what I think I'm going to go with.
Sure, but they don't make Final Fours.
Yeah.
Right? Like, good, it's not like McDermott. But they still lost in the Elite Eight. And you could say they, quote, choked that game away. You know, that's kind of how, like, everyone says that about Purdue. Well, they were one of the most ridiculous plays in NCAA tournament history away from making a Final Four when Virginia had that missed free throw, full court pass, Diakite forces overtime.
Yeah.
Then we're talking about, oh, Painter's going back to the second Final Four in 5 years. Instead, like, and I'm looking at it now just to make sure, like, because the Midwest is the one that I really, really can't figure out. I think Gonzaga is a really good team. They've been playing well. I know they lost to St. Mary's in the title game, but
it seems like
well.
Everyone likes McNeese in the first round because
that's kind of why I leaned to Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, you know, it's kind of my contrarian view of everything, of especially upset picks. Everyone 12 over a five, it happens to be McNeese. Gonzaga could just make the Sweet 16, and I that's what I think they're going to do. I think they're in the Sweet 16. I like them more than Kansas and Samford in the same quadrant because we don't know about Kansas's health. Right now, if you tell me Dickinson and McCullough are completely healthy, are we really counting out Self from just making another Final Four?
Yeah, and a few years ago, everyone was kind of counting them out. No one was talking about it. They ended up winning a national championship.
Right. And it's like, yeah, they don't have depth, but they have five really good players. So I can't figure out the Midwest. You know, I think Purdue gets it. Their guard plays a lot better. You know, the bracket does kind of set up nicely for them.
And no one will pick them, too. That's why it kind of plays games with your mind specifically.
That's the thing.
Outside
nobody
of
wants
everyone
to
on
pick
CBS
it.
Last night. I couldn't.
Right.
I know that you have a lot of people connected to the game. You're rooting for Matt Painter. People should want to root for Matt Painter. But I can't walk into this tournament with any confidence he gets the job done.
But the thing is, in their bracket, out of these 16 teams, you can't pick any of them. Because no one wants to pick any of these guys.
UConn should be the one seed in this.
That should have been. I agree. I think, listen, it pains me to say it because I'm a Kentucky guy. Tennessee's really good, but UConn should be running to the table to trade with Purdue.
The region, by the way, that I love the most is the South. I love what Samson's done at Houston. I know the Kolick injury is going to be big. It looks like he's going to play. With Shaka Smart, you got Duke. I know that they're not great, but it's still Duke. This is just, and Kentucky too. They're getting hot at the right time, or they were right before the tournament. Like that South region, I'm gonna pick your Wildcats to get to the Final Four. But man, that's the one that I'm most intrigued by. And any answer you give me probably wouldn't surprise me.
I hate that everyone's picking Kentucky. I've seen way too many people talk about, and I tweeted out last night when the bracket came out. I was like, "Don't fall in love with the bracket. Don't fall in love with the bracket." Because the draw is nice for a Kentucky run.
Mm-hmm.
Like they play their best against fast paced teams. Like their best wins: Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee. Teams that want to get up and down. I know that sounds weird because Tennessee, but that's who they are this year. They struggle against teams that slow it down, like the A&Ms of the world with good guard play that can break Kentucky down defensively and then just beat you up on defense. So that's, you know, obviously you get Houston and that's exactly who Houston is.
And
but you take
prime for a big tourney, you would think too, right?
Yeah, but you take the chance for that to be the Elite Eight matchup. If you're like, as a Kentucky fan, that's fine. Like,
okay.
Hey, maybe mayhem happens. Houston loses in the Sweet 16 or something. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, similar to what we said with the stories of the coaches in the South, Shaka, you have coaches that need a run, right? Shaka needs a run. He hasn't had one since VCU. Hal needs a run because it's a civil war in Kentucky right now, if you mention his name. Shire needs a run because everyone's going, all right, another four seed. What if we lose in the second round again? You know, we're Duke. That's not supposed to happen. You know, I don't think Samson needs a run. He made a Final Four, but it was – you know, the people that hate Houston or want to diminish what they've done. They'll say it was the bubble run. How do we look at that tournament? So it's an interesting because you have the names with Kentucky, Duke, Houston, Wisconsin, you know, names we're used to seeing on the bracket and second week in teams. But I think every coach needs a run. So to me, that you're right, it is the most intriguing because you have, I think, probably legit four or five Final Four teams in that bracket.
How about the West too? You have one final run for Baycott, you know, Arizona. Scott Drew's still there with Baylor. Bama, I don't like the direction they're trending in as we enter this tourney. Who's the squad in the West that you go, okay, that's the team I'd be most surprised if they don't make it to the Final Four?
I think it's Arizona. This is the best team that Tommy Lloyd –
We're agreeing with everything. That means we're both going to have a lot of egg on our faces for the first weekend.
I know. But it's like – again, I say coaches that need runs. Tommy Lloyd is getting bounced early now.
Yeah.
Right? Like he lost to Princeton, didn't get out of the first round or the first weekend 2 years ago. So you have a Final Four in Arizona. If you get there, you're sitting real nice thinking you have home court advantage and everything like that. This is a team that was talked about as in the same breath of what we now consider the top three versus the field. Right. So Arizona, they were there for the longest time. They need a run. I like them. You look at the draw. I think there's no reason for them not to be in the Sweet 16.
And imagine if we get Caleb Love against UNC too.
It's the storyline that everyone wants. One of those two teams will not be there though. Every time we have that storyline, one of the two will fail. I wanted to pick Carolina to lose in the second round. I think they're the most vulnerable one seed. But man, Mississippi State and Michigan State are just so gross. Like that's the worst game of the first round. Which means they'll probably win.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Bobby, give me like two or three upsets that you like in the first round. Like teams that you're like, okay, they're underseeded and you think you're going to be able to be better.
So I originally was going to put Baylor as a Final Four team until I saw their potential second round matchup. I love New Mexico. I absolutely love New Mexico. I think it's ridiculous that they stole a bid by winning the Mountain West. They should have been in regardless. They have high level talent. I think New Mexico could be a second weekend team. I like, you know, the other ones are pretty obvious. I think Grand Canyon got a nice draw against St. Mary's. They match up well there. And then you get Alabama, who can't guard me, you, and three people off the street. So,
and I love Kelsey; he's a madman at Charleston.
Yeah, right. So, but it's I think Grand Canyon has a nice draw for a potential second week run. Remember, I'm not saying it matters, but last year that bottom left bracket was mayhem the entire time too. It kind of has that same feel this year. And then you look around; like, I think there's going to be a lot of upsets the first round, but I think the Elite Eight will see a lot more ones and twos there. I could see mayhem early and then kind of like, okay, everything settled down. That's just kind of the way the season's been going. I mean, you know, you look at that Wisconsin, Duke, James Madison, Vermont quadrant. Would anybody be surprised if James Madison's in the Sweet 16? Like they already have a win on the road at the Big Ten. We obviously know that with Michigan State.
You know what I'm curious by? I'm really curious by FAU because they had the run last year. In the regular season, I didn't think they played to what they were capable of. I wonder if that's a squad with how many guys they return. If when the lights come on, they just pop off. But then once again, you got UConn coming up in the round of 32. I don't care how much I love Dusty, man. I'm not picking them to beat UConn.
And everyone said that. And then they go to the American tournament and lose to
Temple, my school.
Right. And no offense, Temple sticks.
Like, trust me, I know. Except that so, I had to donate $150 to the NIL collective because I guaranteed $1 for every point and then $2 if they ended up winning. So I had to give $150 to them this weekend.
I also wonder, too, everyone screamed about FAU last year being grossly underseeded as a 9, and then they make the run. This year, it's egregious that they're an 8. Like, I don't even know if FAU should have made the tournament if you're looking at most deserving teams.
Yeah, they have the regular
a
season.
Lot of bad losses. Yeah. So I almost wonder if they're just going to hold serve and like, hey, last year we were underseeded, made the run. This year we're overseeded. We'll just lose to Northwestern. And like then everyone can just stop yelling about us.
So it seems like, is this safe to say this is your Final Four? You're going UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and then Purdue? Is that what you're doing?
I'm taking, like, my heart is begging Kentucky. I how do I pick against Houston, though? So I think it's going to be, like, Houston. Part of me wants to say Gonzaga.
Okay.
Just, like, there's got to be mayhem somewhere, right? So maybe it's Gonzaga. And then I think I do think Arizona gets there. And then, yeah, UConn. I keep trying to pick against UConn, but it's not going to be 4-1 seeds. I'd be shocked if it's 3-1 seeds. I think you see kind of what we've been seeing of, you know, one or two top two seeds, a 3 or 4 seed and a 5 seed, something like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again this year, but, you know, obviously not have all 4, 5, 9 seeds in the Final Four like last year.
So who wins it all then? Who are you going with?
I want to say Houston.
Okay.
Like, it just they – is there really that big of a – I don't think there's that big of a difference between them and UConn. And I know Houston has injuries right now, but it's kind of all led to this moment, right? Like, they make the Final Four. They were 1 seed last year.
They've been so close.
That's kind of been the theme the last few years, right? Like, Self gets over the hump with a second tournament, you know, second title. Drew gets one. Bennett gets one. Does it just kind of feel like it's going to be Houston? Like Hurley gets one last year. Like it just, are we due for this run to keep continuing? Or, and I think that's the biggest storyline, is does the next coach emerge?
He is
because Hurley's now an all-time great.
Yeah, he is Bobby Regan. Make sure you give him a follow at Barstool Regs. We'll be following him all throughout the NCAA tournament. Does a great job covering college basketball all throughout the year. Bobby, always great to connect with you this time of the year. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good one.
There you go. Bobby Regan joining us from Barstool Sports, one of my favorite follows throughout the year when it does come to college basketball. And you know what? I like his theory because I will pick UConn to win it all. I will. But everyone's going to pick UConn to win it all. I've been saying it for now two and a half months, not like a big revolutionary take, but it's almost, if you want to win the bracket this year, you're probably better off picking someone other than UConn. You just hope it's not UConn because then everyone's going to have UConn. All righty. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the first thing you'd do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
I do love this music. I do find it funny, though, that it is a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming back with this music, and people are probably going to expect, like, the next best segment of college basketball takes, and we just did about 23 minutes on college basketball. Now we're going to talk some football. Alrighty, let me get to a little RG3. I like RG3. RG3 has been on this show a bunch. I have hung out with RG3 before. I'm a big fan of RG3, but with all that being said, just because I know someone and I'm friendly with someone doesn't mean that I'm just going to dance around a take that they give. So this is RG3 on the aftermath after we see Justin Fields traded to the Steelers. Now RG3, when it's clear the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, believes Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and refuse to play for the Bears and go somewhere else. Let's listen up to RG3.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization's is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
So here's the one problem, and there's many problems with RG3's argument. I know the Chicago Bears have had a history of never finding that quarterback, but this is not a situation where you're like, oh, it's not a desirable situation now. Like, if we just forget about all the other years of history and you just look at the team, going into next year, you have Cole Kmet, who's a really solid tight end. You have DeAndre Swift, who's a solid running back. Then at wide receiver, more importantly, you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And, oh yeah, by the way, you also have the 9th overall pick in the draft, where you could get another offensive weapon. So just there, I don't think the Bears are in a dreadful spot. And they're not the number one overall pick because they were terrible. They had the Panthers pick. The Bears actually did a nice job in the second half of the season. So I think the Bears are actually a decent, I'm not going to say great, good, but they're a decent situation to walk into for a team that has the number one overall pick. Now, here's the other part of the argument where I disagree with RG3. When you use what Eli Manning did, that also required the Giants, who were in at 4. The Giants took Phillip Rivers. This wasn't like the Giants were sitting at 12 and Eli just said he wanted to go to the Giants and you didn't have anyone really at 12 that you drafted. Like, you had Phillip Rivers, who was a hot commodity in the draft, right? That draft was Eli, Phillip, and Big Ben. So let's say Caleb Williams does this. The Bears then would have to get a quarterback back. So you would probably think that would still be in the first 4 picks. Here's the problem, though. The teams that are 2, 3, and 4 right now are the Commanders, the Patriots, and then the Cardinals. The Cardinals would trade Kyler Murray to go get Caleb Williams, I think. But forget about the Cardinals because I think they're rocking and rolling with Kyler Murray. And that is probably a trade bait kind of spot. Well, the Commanders right now aren't a better situation than the Bears. So why would Caleb Williams rather go to the Commanders? I know he's from D.C. I'm a Patriot fan. Hey, Caleb, please refuse to go to the Bears. And say you want to go to New England. But why the heck would he want to do that? The Patriots have Jack. So then someone trades in to the 4 spot and they're going to get the 4th best quarterback to trade to the Bears? It's all backwards. So I don't think you could, like, I think it's easy on the surface to just say, oh, well, Eli Manning did this, so then you could do it. Eli Manning also had the backing of the Manning family, which is a powerful family in football. So I don't think it would be right, or I don't think it would make sense, because sometimes you do things that aren't right, but then they make sense. But in this case, I don't think it'd be right, and I don't think it makes sense from Caleb Williams' perspective. Like, Samter, if they had nothing, if there was no DJ Moore, if there was no Keenan Allen, if the offensive, if they didn't just draft the big tackle
And they had nothing. They have another top 10 pick. Why? Like, then I could understand the argument. But the Bears are actually in a decent spot. So, okay, you're telling me that Ryan Poles and Eberflus could be fired after this year? I don't even necessarily agree with that. The Poles part, I don't. I think his time clock in some realm with the front office resets a little bit when you take a quarterback number one overall and everyone's praising you for getting that number one overall pick. Eberflus is a different story, but I don't think it's going to be that bad in Chicago this year where they completely flop and they're begging to fire Eberflus. Like I saw, I think it was RG3 said they had to win like 10 games for Eberflus to come back. You're telling me they go 9-8 or even 8-9 and Caleb Williams shows a lot of promise and they're going to get rid of the head coach? I don't buy that whatsoever. So I'm trying to see the RG3 argument here, and I'm trying to, because I like RG3, I'm trying to see the other argument, and usually when everyone's slamming one person, I won't like just jump on, but I just don't see how in any way this would make sense for Caleb Williams, because that's the lens that we have to view this through, because he's saying Caleb Williams should avoid the Bears pretty much at all costs, and I don't see where the alternative is that you're moving in a realistic way where you're going to go somewhere else and the Bears are going to be cool with that.
And not even that, like, when Eli did this, the Chargers were a mess at the time, right? And the Giants were, like, a desirable location. So, like, even though the Chargers ended up being good and Eli couldn't have foreseen that, he made a choice to leave a dysfunctional franchise or work his way out of a dysfunctional franchise to a good one. Where is he going to go that's not dysfunctional right now? The Commanders are 2? Dysfunctional. The Patriots are 3?
The Commanders are less dysfunctional now because you have Harris out, but it's not like they have a multitude of weapons. The Patriots are dysfunctional.
But we haven't seen anything from the Commanders yet with Harris, so we don't know. And Harris, I mean, he has the Sixers also, and they've been dysfunctional, so who's to say that the Commanders aren't going to be any more or less dysfunctional
and
than
And don't
Snyder?
Forget about the Devils. They stink too this year.
So I'm not saying that Harris is going to be this like wonderful savior for the Commanders. The Patriots, yeah, they have a good owner and crap, but they're fairly dysfunctional, getting rid of their coach.
They're 1,000% dysfunctional.
The Giants are a mess right now at 6. Maybe the only non-dysfunctional team would be the Vikings if they moved up. But like, if you're Caleb Williams, what other franchise that's looking for a quarterback early in the draft are you trying to force your way over to and get out of Chicago? I love RG3, but this is a nonsense take.
I agree with you. And not only that, I would say Caleb Williams would look tough in a Minnesota Vikings uniform, throwing that football to Justin Jefferson and throwing that football to Jordan Addison as well. But the Vikings have this reputation of never getting the job done anyway. He would look tough.
No, he would look cool. But like,
he would look tough.
I don't know how tough you look in purple.
Oh, well, you could look cool in purple.
But you don't
just
look
because
tough
you
in
don't look tough in purple doesn't mean other people can't look tough in purple.
So name one person on the Vikings who ever looked tough.
Justin Jefferson looks tough.
He doesn't look tough. He looks
cool.
Yes, he does. He doesn't look tough. He's dancing, doing the gritty, and like doing all these
fun Jared moves. Allen. He looked tough.
No, he didn't look tough.
What about the purple people eaters?
The only
they
guy
look
who
tough?
Really had, no, you know who looked tough? The only guy who I can remember looking tough was Jonathan Randall. He looked tough. But he looked tough when he took off that helmet and
he
had all that eye black dripping down his face.
Kick your ass.
Aiden Hutchinson looks tough in a Lions outfit. Like, people don't look tough in Vikings outfit.
I think that's a terrible take.
Brett Favre kind of looked tough.
By the
I
way,
guess.
I don't.
But he looked tougher in a Green Bay outfit.
I will say, there's sometimes uniform. Samter is very stubborn when he has a take that's just so wrong. I've never seen you, though, do a quicker 180 from one segment to then when we get to the break. And I hate to bring this up than last week. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because Ack is sitting next to me. And I just want to see Ack's reaction when I give him the take that you gave last week in the aftermath of Aaron Donald announcing his retirement. We were going through the top 10 ranked defensive players in NFL history. And Samter tried to make a case. And let me just fully put this out there before I reiterate the garbage that we heard from Samter. I do not agree with the Samter take whatsoever. I said so in the moment, and Samter's even acknowledged he was dead wrong about this. Samter tried to say, because of how long Bruce Smith played in the NFL, that he was not a top 10 defensive player of all time.
He definitely, I'd have to think about it, but I definitely would not put him in the top 5.
Okay, that's fine, but top 10. Guy, 200 career sacks.
Okay, I'm going to go Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White.
Mm-hmm. That was everyone's first two players.
Dick Butkus. There was somebody else from that era I was thinking
Coach
of.
Coach Prime, would you do?
No. Okay. Bubba Smith, maybe? Ray Nitschke? No.
Look how many old school names we're going to get for that.
I'm just trying to think who else comes to mind.
Chuck Bednarik.
Right away.
What about Chuck Bednarik?
Chuck Bednarik's not a bad one. I couldn't say that there. So
I just got the approval from Mac. He was like, "Oh, that's good that he got Chuck Bednarik."
That's not a bad one. So, but that's four right off the top of my head.
Ray Lewis, so Aaron Donald.
I wouldn't put Bruce Smith in there. Derek Thomas. He's certainly in that group.
Well, I don't think you don't have your headphones on, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, so you couldn't hear Samter.
Okay, you know.
Samter was saying Aaron Donald, Ray Lewis.
Aaron Donald's definitely in there, and Ray Lewis is definitely in there.
Ed Reed, maybe.
I might go Ed Reed. You know,
so this was my thinking
Mel
at the
Blount
time.
Is I think the equivalent to Ed Reed. So that's a tough one there.
Now, Samter's trying to get a word in here. Yeah, Ack is just going through 900 names.
Was Bruce Smith was a great compiler of numbers, but he wasn't overly dominating at any
stretch.
That's a bad team.
He was dominant.
Yeah.
He was
so
dominant.
So as I look back, I didn't realize that he was a 2-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I knew that he was a great sack guy and that he was a great player, but I never thought of him as an ultra dominant Reggie White type of player.
That's it.
I just remembered him being a guy who played for 20 years and got a lot of sacks.
Hey, Chris,
over that
do me a favor
when
this clip gets thrown out there by people. Take my face off the screen. I don't even want to be in the
I'm not saying he wasn't a great player. My initial thought was he wasn't top 10. I went back, but I would still put him at 8, 9, 10 in that range. I put him at 8 to 10 range.
I'm not besmirching Bruce Smith. I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd put him top 10. I mean, he's close. But I mean, think of the people we just named. Top 10 is pretty good.
That was my point.
You know,
yeah. Gotcha. So. All righty, we'll take a time out. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm furious right now. I may quit after this segment because Samter's going to get trolled by a bunch of Bills fans.
Joe Green is another.
Yeah. True. And my face is going to be everywhere in this segment. And I vehemently disagree with Michael Samter. But anyway, that was the quickest I've ever outside of Hickey 1 year trying to tell me has to do with another Bill. That Carson Wentz was going to be better than Josh Allen. And right away it was like, oh, yeah, I was wrong on that one. I have never – you did a very quick 180. And I commend you for doing the 180.
I mean, your take – that's a little bit different. That's a prognostication. It's much easier to get that wrong than a memory of –
This was when Carson Wentz, by the way, was in Indianapolis.
Oh,
it's not like Philadelphia.
Ooh, yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's bad.
In Philadelphia, there was a hey, that's Carson right. Wentz had almost an MVP season. So that was the
– Okay, I feel redeemed.
That was the Hickey take. But don't worry. If it's just – can you get a good take compared to the other CBS Sports Radio producers? Your worst takes won't be as bad as some of the other producers around here. That's for sure. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Will in Boise says, Zach, what's your biggest takeaway from Selection Sunday? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All righty, I'll actually give you five. Give you five takeaways.
You're setting a bad precedent for ATP.
Why?
They ask you one question, you give them five answers. I mean, now people are going to start bombarding you with stuff, and you're going to have to just keep adding on to it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just tell them no.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just – I think there's five takeaways from this bracket. And it's not like, oh, Cinderella's and necessarily all that. But there were five things that I just looked at when this bracket came out and it just resonated with me. I'll go from five to one, like least intriguing to most intriguing. Five, can UNC finish the job? I look at that West region. I like Arizona to get there, but I can't say I have a lot of confidence in Arizona. Baylor with Scott Drew. We all know he's a phenomenal coach. I do not like the way that Alabama's been playing down the stretch. I think Pat Kelsey's squad at Charleston is going to upset him. You could see a 13-12 second-round game because it wouldn't shock me if Grand Canyon beat St. Mary's either. And I don't think the winner of Mississippi State, Michigan State's taking down UNC. So I look at the road for UNC. It is favorable. And if you get UNC Arizona in the Elite Eight, winner goes to the Final Four with the Caleb Love factor – I think it's just sensational. So can UNC and Arizona get to the Elite Eight and give us that with the spot in the Final Four on the line? Four, the Big East only getting three teams in, I think is a disgrace. When you have the number one overall seed, UConn, you then have a two seed in Marquette and a three seed in Creighton. I know all these bids were snatched up and they were stolen. It was highway robbery, all that stuff. but how not one of Seton Hall, St. John's, or Providence get in doesn't make sense. And St. John's, Patino called them out, then they went on that win streak. And I know they didn't have a great season, but how the heck can they be 25th in KenPom and then 32 in the net and they don't get in? Like, I don't understand these numbers. Never have, never will in the rankings. In at number three, I absolutely love the South region. When I look at the South region, Houston, phenomenal. If Kolick comes back with Marquette, and it seems like that's going to be the case, according to at least what Shaka Smart said to John Rothstein last night, like, all right, he's going to be dressed, going to be ready to go. John, you don't have to kind of text me all throughout the week asking for updates. Kentucky, especially with the way that they played towards the end of their regular season, really damn good. I'm not a believer in Duke, but I just think there's a lot of intrigue. And how about Nebraska A&M to start off the tournament? Trev Alberts, the AD at Nebraska, left a week ago to go to A&M, and he's a Cornhusker, Trev Alberts. I just think there's some fun storylines in the South. And then the number two takeaway is there are no excuses for Purdue and Tennessee. Dalton Kinect gives Tennessee a shot to maybe come have the Rick Barnes shortcomings get overcome. Purdue, can you have the Virginia redemption after they lost to a 16, right, as we got to see the following year? But you look at that Midwest, Purdue and Tennessee are the one and the two. Then after that, it's like, all right, I like Creighton, and I think McDermott can get there. They're actually my pick. But I'm not saying that they're world beaters. Gonzaga hasn't had a great year. You know, Kansas, I'm not saying you'll fall in love with them, but self will always intimidate you. If Purdue nor Tennessee get there, I just think it's absolutely disgraceful for Painter and then Barnes. And then at number one, here's my biggest takeaway for the bracket. Whenever it's UConn or the field, I don't feel great taking the team over the other 67. But that's how damn good UConn is. And I thought what Bobby Regan said was something that was very intriguing about Houston. Like, Houston would have a good chance to beat UConn. But I'm not picking against UConn. The only way I'd pick against UConn is because everyone is picking them. But that team, where how they didn't even play their best brand of basketball last year, and they were still able to win the championship, and then you followed up with them returning so many guys this year, I absolutely love Hurley. UConn, to me, is a blue blood. And I think that this is the continuation of the dominance we're going to see in UConn getting their next big-time head coach with what Danny Hurley's been able to do. All righty, fun show today. Great job out of Chris Hess. Great job out of Michael Samter. Big thanks to Dalton Kinect for joining us, in addition to Bobby Regan. Big thanks to each and every one of you as well. We'll talk manana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now, no purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 6/15/24. Void where prohibited.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.